This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Here we are again, and it's so good to be here. It always is so good to be here. You know, I do the show once a week, and every week it forces me to focus on the subject matter that I'm going to talk about. And it's a vulnerable state sometimes for me, but it's something that I feel the Lord leads me to. And it's because all of us experience things as we go through this thing called life, this journey that we are on. And some of the things that I've learned, people say to me, you know, wow, you know, what kind of problems could you have? And I say, wow, we all have our challenges, and we all face these challenges. And what we do with those challenges make or break the future of what God wants for our lives. And so if our focus is what God wants for our lives, and we ask ourselves that when we're making decisions, it kind of sets us on the straight and narrow path. So with that, I'm going to say that one of the things that I've realized, this wisdom in my 50-odd years of life, is that a lot of this begins with a conversation. And sometimes those conversations are really, really hard to have. In this last week, I've had some really, really, really difficult decisions to make and difficult conversations I've had to have. But if we're not honest about where we are, if we're not honest about how we're feeling inside ourselves, it's hard for us to be honest with those around us. So with that, I'm going to say, let me ask you this question, whether you're driving or, you know, wherever you are. Have you ever felt like somebody just expects you to be a mind reader? They just expect you to know what they're thinking or how they're feeling. I know for me, I've experienced that. And I know sometimes I wish somebody could read my mind because it's so difficult for me to speak what I'm feeling. But we are responsible for ourselves. And if we're not getting what we want out of life, if we're not where we want to be, what part of that are we playing? What part of that could we change? And the part of that we can change is for us to evaluate where we are, realize and recognize where we are. Those are rewords again. And then figure out where we want to go and then how we're going to get there. And even though we might design a plan, we got to make sure it's in alignment with God. But when we design our plan, God could have another path, and we have to be open to his path for our lives. But we also have a brain and we have a heart that God gave us. And so he does want us to think. He wants us to be in touch with our feelings. They're kind of a gauge to what's going on in our lives. And they can be learning tools, because if you don't appreciate or understand what you're feeling and why you're feeling that, you're not going to understand how you can improve upon whatever it is we're talking about. I know I'm kind of going around. The real subject matter for today is on those fierce conversations, those conversations that you need to have. I know when I was an early bride, there were things that I wanted to say. There were things that I wanted to express, even on the honeymoon night. And I just found that I was nervous or scared to say what I wanted to say. So those that are in that situation, take it from one who knows. Say what's on your mind. I know I had a conversation this morning with one of my employees about some gossip and some rumors and about a story that I'll get back to. And in having that conversation to her, she's a very smart young lady. But I said to her, what she's lacking is filters. And what I mean by that is sometimes, like I said to her, is if you're in doubt about what you're going to say, don't say it. Think more, pray more, and make sure that what you're going to say has been thought out. You know, we're called to edify others. We're called to encourage others. And part of that encouragement is confronting. You know, even confronting can be an issue, you know, but we're called to do that. But confronting doesn't mean argue. Confronting doesn't mean be angry or mean. You can confront in love. And basically what you're doing is just stating what you see or what you think or what the Bible says even, and letting people know that maybe there's another way they should be going. I'm reading this book, and it's by Susan Scott, and it's called Fierce Conversations. And this book is an amazing, amazing book. I highly recommend it. And one thing she says here is, I say that we will confront real issues. That confront does not mean argue or beat up. Confront means search for the truth. Honesty means full disclosure to myself and others with good intent. Basically, what I'm saying is we need to have these fierce conversations. This is what the book says. When here is troubling, is here troubling you? Where you are right now, are you troubled? This is what this book says. I'm going to read from the book. Be patient with yourself. You got here, wherever here is, one conversation at a time. Allow the changes needed at home or at work to reveal themselves one conversation at a time. Sometimes here just happens. Ask yourself, how did I get here? How is it that I find myself in a company, a role, a relationship, or a life from which I've absented my spirit? How did I lose my way? So many times I've heard people say, we never addressed the real issue, never came to terms with reality. Does this hit home with anyone? I know it does with me. Or, we never stated our needs. We never told each other what we were really thinking and feeling. In the end, there were so many things we needed to talk about. The wheels came off the cart. Wow. Take your finger and touch your nose. This is where the resolution begins. This is the accountable position. If you want to make progress toward a better here, in your professional or personal life, identify the conversations out there with your name on them and resolve to have them with all the courage, grace, and vulnerability they require. That is very good advice. Perhaps you pay fierce attention to conversations at work, but slip into a conversational coma at home, convinced there's nothing new, interesting, or energizing to discuss, preferring the company of the remote control. Ouch. Perhaps you leave your warmth, playfulness, and authenticity at home and prop up an automation at your desk at work, afraid to let your authentic self show up lest you be judged. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're just tuning in and you have to leave your car, don't worry. If you like what you're hearing, I hope you do. You can go inside and you can click on kkla.com. And then click on Listen Live, and you can hear me live. And for those of you that are listening and you know somebody that needs to hear this, but you can't get a hold of them or it's not convenient for you right now, it's okay. What you can do is you can go to Sue Fries, spelt like fries, one word, .com. Sue Fries, spelt like fries, .com. And you can listen to any podcast for the last 2 years. It's a wonderful tool that we now have available to us, and it's a wonderful thing. There's also other things on there that you can look at. There's Helping Hands that has all kinds of helping things for you. And we have a list of ministries that have been on the air. And if you want to get involved in a ministry, I always say to people, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling low, if you're feeling depressed, the best thing to do is to get out of yourself and help somebody else. And it's amazing what that does to pull you up and pull you out. Sometimes we get so into the pain we're feeling, which I'm not saying don't feel it. Don't stuff that pain. That's not a healthy thing to do either. If you have pain and you're stuffing it, what you need to do is find some Christian counseling or some friend that can give you Christian counseling advice and get that out, because we don't want to be isolated. Don't be isolated. Because that's what the devil wants. He wants you to be alone, feel like you're all alone and there's nobody there could understand how you're feeling. And I'm here to tell you that there is people that have gone through similar things that you're going through right now. And there are people there that can walk alongside. That's what we're called to do, is walk alongside to help each other up and to love one another, not judge one another, but love one another. We're not into judging. We need to love. Love comes first. Jesus loved us. He loved us enough to die for us, and that's an amazing thing. So, where I was on this was when we get squeezed, when things aren't going well for us, what comes out of us? Whatever's inside us, to pretend that's what's going on in our personal lives can be boxed, taped shut, and left in the garage while we are at work is hogwash. It seeps in everywhere. Who we are is who we are all over the place. So if your conversations at work are yielding disappointing results, take note, take a survey. I'd be willing to bet you're getting similar results at home. The principles and skills needed to engage in conversations that produce mind-blowing, world-class results in the workplace are exactly the same principles and skills that produce mind-blowing, world-class results at home. The conversation is the relationship. If the conversation stops, all of the possibilities for the relationship become smaller, and all of the possibilities for the individuals in the relationship become smaller. Until one day, we overhear ourselves in mid-sentence, making ourselves smaller in every encounter, behaving as if we are just the space around our shoes, engaged in yet another three-minute conversation so empty of meaning it crackles. If you're just tuning in, I am reading from a book called Fierce Conversations by Susan Scott. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And this book has done so much for me that I felt it was really, really worth me sharing it with you today. Incremental degradation. If we compromise at work or at home, if we lower the standards about how often we talk, what we talk about, and most important, what degree of authenticity we bring to our conversations, it's a slow and deadly death. You know, there's a song out there. I don't know who sings it. It's called Slow Fade, and it talks about that destruction doesn't happen just overnight. It doesn't happen in a heartbeat. It happens over time. I was in marriage counseling once, and the gentleman that was counseling, who I just adore, said this. He says, you guys didn't get here, you know, overnight. This took time. And what happens is it's like this little ball that starts at the top of a hill. And it's the little things that add to the ball as it rolls down the hill. The big conflicts, the big things, the big critical things like a child being sick or, you know, just those big, big things, you know, people will pull together to get through tough times. It's those little things that don't get addressed, that build up over time, that railroad us. And all of a sudden we realize, wow, who are you and what happened? And so with that, I'm saying that to prevent that, to stop that from happening, no matter who you are, you're listening to this show for a reason. You know, there's no such thing as coincidence. It's when God decides to stay anonymous. You tuned into this station right here, right now. And the reason is that there's probably a message here that you, not your friend, not your spouse, not your date, not your child, it's you. You need to hear this because there's probably a conversation out there that you really, really need to have. Part of the therapy that I had to go through a long, long time ago was to write a letter to my father who was already deceased. And I had to write this letter because there were things that I never, ever, ever got to say. And those things have just, they stayed on my heart because I so desperately wanted to understand more about why things were the way they were. And I know that there's people listening right now that can relate to what I'm saying. And it's emotional even now, even though I've been healed, thank you, Jesus, that, you know, it's just an emotional thing because we want to be healed and understand. And not always can we understand. It's like people that die way early. They get cancer, children. We don't have all the answers. God does. And it doesn't make sense, does it? A lot of these things that happen, they don't make sense. But you know what? God understands and God knows. And we have to put our trust and belief that he's got it under control. And he's got us under his control. And he'll take care of us. But we have to give ourselves to him and understand that he's, that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. I love that song. And I remember that all the time when I feel like I'm overwhelmed. It's like, okay, Jesus, take the wheel. Does Jesus need to take the wheel for you right now? If he does, just ask him. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened for you. You. Isn't that a wonderful feeling to know that he's there? Moving right along on this book from Susan Scott on Fierce Conversations. In our significant relationships in the workplace and in our conversations with ourselves, we'd like to tell the truth. We'd like to be able to successfully tackle the topic that's keeping us stuck or apart. But the task is just way too hard. We don't know how to avoid the all too familiar outcome of talks gone south, and besides, we've learned to live with it. Why wreck another meeting with our colleagues, another weekend with our life partner, trying to resolve the tough issues or answer the big questions? We're tired and we just want peace, peace in the land. The problem is, whether you are running an organization or your life, you are required to be responsive to your world. And that response often requires change. We affect change by engaging in robust conversations with ourselves and others. With ourselves, isn't that something? We need to have that conversation with ourselves. We need to ask ourselves those tough questions. Are you where you want to be? Where do you want to be? Those kind of questions. And then how are you going to get there? And who do you need to have around you to help you get there? Given this, what words and what level of attention do you wish to bring to your conversations with the people most important to you? Throughout the book, we will explore principles and practices that will help you engage in conversations that enrich relationships, no matter how sensitive or challenging the topic. Again, this book is Fierce Conversations. And no, I'm not getting a proceed for promoting this book. It's just this book has helped me. And, you know, in business, it's tough, but my employees know now that if I have an issue, I'm going to go right to the source and I'm going to get answers to my questions. And I tell them, I believe half what I see and nothing that I hear. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show about a young lady that I brought into my office this morning because there was something that was texted to me that was said by this lady. She had exposed that a dollar amount that I had offered her, and she had told somebody else, which is not something we should be doing, is it? That's between employer and employee. It's not having to do with any other people. So it's not something we should be sharing because people's feelings get hurt, causes problems, and that's not what we're here to do. We don't want to hurt feelings and we don't want to cause problems. We want to make things better, don't we? So in having this conversation with this young lady, I told her that she's a very smart young lady, but that she needs filters. She needs to know when to speak and when to not speak, and when in question, don't. Simple as that. When in question, don't. Take a deep breath, pray about it, and wait till tomorrow. If you still feel strongly about having to say something, then maybe that's the right time to say it. And this is after over 50 years of experience, that it's kind of a good idea to do that. In having this conversation with this young lady, I talked to her about a story I was once told about gossip and rumors. And here's how the story goes. The story is that there was a young man who lived in this small community, and he was a churchgoer. And you guys are going to relate to some things that I'm going to say right now. And he saw something. He saw something that he didn't think was exactly right, so that he shared it with a couple of other Christian people saying, we need to pray for so-and-so, and this is what we need to pray about, which was an indirect way of gossip and rumor, isn't it? And how many of you have heard this or done this? And if you've done it, stop it. And if you've heard it, what you need to do is say, I'm not interested, don't want to hear it. That's the best thing to respond. Anyway, getting back to the story, he said, we really need to pray for so-and-so. Well, down the road, the rumor continued to spread, or the prayer request continued to spread, and it ruined this person's life. It really caused an ill effect. Whether that was the desire or not, that's what happened, and that's what so often happens because, let me tell you, I'll finish the story. Anyway, so he felt so bad about when he found the truth. Truth shall set you free. When he found out the truth, he felt so bad and he knew that he had caused harm. He went to the pastor and he asked the pastor, he says, what can I do? What can I do to make this right? I feel so bad about something I said 6 months ago that still won't stop. It keeps going. And what can I do? And the pastor said to him this, he said, I want you to take a feather pillow and I want you to go to the highest mountain. And on a windy day, I want you to cut that pillow open and I want you to watch. I want you to unleash all the feathers inside that pillow. I want you to let them blow in the wind. Then what I want you to do is I want you to go collect every single feather that was let loose during this wind. Every single feather I want you to collect. Once you've collected all the feathers, then you will have taken care of this issue. And the moral of this story is it's impossible to collect every feather. You don't know how far, how wide, how deep these gossip, rumor words go. So if there's anything you get from this show today, the Sue Free Show, is if you're a gossip, stop it. If you are spreading rumors, stop it. If you are adding an ear to a gossip, stop it. You know, go with the truth, go with the facts. And once you have that, then move forward. But rumors and gossip, they just cause so much harm. I can't even tell you how many times it's mentioned in the Bible about gossip and rumor, but there's a lot. And it's just saying to stop. You know, your tongue is a two-edged sword. It's a rudder. You know, all these things that are said. And, you know, if you want to steer your ship, you want to use good words. You want to edify. You want to build up. You don't want to tear down. Do you? Do you want to be that type of person? Do you want to be looked at or remembered as a gossip or a rumor? So check yourself every time you start to open your mouth. What are you going to say? Is it going to be a good thing or is it going to cause harm? And that goes right along with fierce conversations. It's the same thing. You know, what you're saying, is it to build up? Is it to help? Is it to make a relationship better or is it to hurt? Check yourself with your conversations. Getting back to what is a fierce conversation? The word fierce has the following words behind it: robust, intense, strong, powerful, passionate, eager, unbridled, uncurbed, untamed. In its simplest form, a fierce conversation is one in which we come out from behind ourselves into the conversation and make it real. Fierce means that you're real. It means you're real. You're honest with yourself. You're going to be honest with this person. And that's hard to do because you are becoming vulnerable. You are letting another person know that they could hurt you if they wanted to. But really, I don't think people are out to hurt other people on the whole. They don't want that. So just understand that you have to be true to yourself. And when you do that, you're going to feel better. Think about it. What are the conversations you've been unable or unwilling to have with your boss, colleague, employee, customer, with your husband, wife, parent, child, or with yourself that if you were able to have, it might change everything? How much is that worth? Boy, I know how much it's worth for me. It's an amazing thing. And I have found by doing this and being clear, having clarity, what you do is you make it easier. You don't want people to read your mind. You know, I can't read my mind. Half the time, sometimes I just don't even know. I'll respond or react to something. I'll go, wow, where'd that come from? Or, what was that all about? Or I'm feeling really angry right now. Or I'm feeling really irritable right now. Why am I feeling that? What's causing that? And those emotions are there to gauge. They're a gauge to let you know that something's cooking. And it's up to you to dissect that and figure out what it is, what's happening, inside of you. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Free Show.
So we're back on the Sue Free Show, and we're talking about fierce conversations. And if you're just tuning in, I just want to remind you that you can go to SueFreeze.com, Soufrie, spelled like fries, one word, .com. And you can listen to this podcast. You can listen to previous podcasts. Been doing this for about 2 years now, which is amazing. And there's videos on there. There's helpful hints. There's helping hands. There's ministries. There's all kinds of things on there. So please go on there and become an email partner with me. And I can share some things with you as we go on and go further. So in talking about Fierce Conversations, the first was the intro and some stories and things. And it was a great half of show. And the second half is I'm going to begin going through this book. And it's the seven principles of Fierce Conversations. And principle one is master the courage to interrogate reality. Do we like our reality? Not always, you know, but that's the beginning. And that's a reword, isn't it? It's funny. I just realized that it's a reword. And, you know, this month is we're going through every month is a different reword. And this month, the reword is we're going to revisit and reclarify and recommit. So all three of those are this one. Before it was reflect, then it was realize and recognize, reform, which is transition. And now we're on revisit, reclarify, and recommit, because that's what we have to do, isn't it? You're revisiting because you're looking at things as how they were, clarifying what they were, and then we're going to commit to something different, something new. And part of that is Fierce Conversations. So master the courage to interrogate reality. If we enter multiple realities, we create possibilities that did not exist for us before. And I'm reading from this book. Fierce conversations often do take time. The problem is anything else takes longer. And that is so true. Nothing is more dangerous than an idea when it's the only one you have. The sequence in interrogating reality is make a proposal, check for understanding, and check for agreement. So when you're having a conversation, it involves at least two people, you and one other person. But sometimes in a workplace, it could be that there's a whole team of people that you're trying to get all on the same page. And that takes these things. You need to make a proposal, check for understanding, and check for agreement. And even between husband and wife or child and parent, what is it that you want to have happen? Make sure both parties understand what is going to happen or what you want to have happen. And make sure that both people agree. Now, sometimes you can agree to not agree. You have an agreement that you don't really agree with each other, but you understand and you still have a point of reference and you know the plan. So you agree that you might not really agree. For instance, here's an example. Wives, submit to your husbands. Now, I know in Ephesians 5, it talks about submit one to another. And sometimes men forget to read the whole chapter. But it's submit, you know, wives, submit to your husbands. So not always, maybe, does the wife agree with the husband. And not always as an employee do you agree with the person in charge, whether it's the president or the owner or whomever. But because you are under that person, you have to do what's being asked as long as it's moral and just. If it's not, then I would suggest not. But you could have that conversation to say, I'm going to do this because I'm under submission to you. But I want you to understand that I'm not in agreement with this. And I want you to understand that. I think that's totally okay. I think that's an okay thing because you're being honest with yourself. You're being honest with the other person. God puts certain people in charge of certain things. And when a person's put in charge and is responsible, they're going to have to answer to God. Your answer to God is to submit when you're put in a position of submission. So with all that being said, that's what I mean by, you know, not always do you agree, but we still have to go forward, don't we? The person who can most accurately describe reality without laying blame will emerge the leader. Does that make sense? I think so. I'm skimming through pages right now because I want you to get kind of an overall of the chapter one of the reality thing. In a personal relationship, adapt the words to fit the situation. This is what our relationship looks like and feels like to me. I truly want to know your thoughts, particularly if they differ from mine. The success of our relationship depends on our ability to understand each other, not agree with each other, but understand each other, and be truthful with each other to stay current. Because things change, don't they? We evolve. We're not always the same. Are you the same today as you were 3 years ago? How about 1 year ago? How about yesterday? You know, things change. Above all, as you describe reality from your perspective, do not lay blame. It's not you. It's just how you feel. It's I feel this way. You know, just like what it says here. I truly want to know your thoughts, particularly if they differ from mine. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we're talking about fierce conversations. Above all, as you describe reality from your perspective, do not lay blame. I said that already. I said it again because it's important not to lay blame. You may get some sideways glances. Don't let that concern you. Each time you describe reality accurately, without laying blame, you create a kind of force field around yourself, one that feels good to others. Try it. If you don't believe me, just try it. Be honest, explain how you're feeling, what you're thinking, and watch. When you practice describing reality without laying blame, notice the change in the tone and the outcome of your conversations as you make the subtle change of deleting the word but from your vocabulary. Write that down. Listen to your self-talk. I had someone that used to always say that they wanted to put on my license plate, yeah, but. Because I go, yeah, but. And what the book is saying is instead of saying but, say and. So change the word to and. See how it changes the outcome of your conversation. Because what's the goal? Is the goal to defend yourself, or is the goal to understand the other person, understand where you are right now so that you can move forward in the relationship and be better? If you're drilling for water, it's better to drill 100-foot well than 100 one-foot wells. Interrogate reality, provoke learning, tackle tough challenges, enrich relationships. Conversation interrogates reality by mining for increased clarity, improved understanding, and impetus for change. Even during conversations that begin with a clear focus, such as, we need to talk about this, it's easy to get sidetracked onto rabbit trails. Typically, we begin on one topic, quickly veer off course, and end up somewhat lost and frustrated, having made little progress on the main issue. Oh my gosh, do I realize and recognize that one. Our job is to juggle the frivolous with the significant. Our challenge is to tell them apart. Mineral Rights will help you drill down deep on a topic by asking your colleague, customer, boss, direct report, spouse, child, or friend a series of questions. This is not a dentist's painful drilling sans Novocaine. It's a natural exploration that accomplishes all four purposes of a fierce conversation, which we'll explore throughout the book. The questions asked during a mineral rights conversation help individuals and teams interrogate reality in such a way that they are mobilized to take potent action on tough challenges. This makes sense, doesn't it? It goes into an example, and I'm just going to flip through those pages. The answers are in the room. Now, that's encouraging. The answers are in the room. Honesty means full disclosure to myself and others with good intent. The good intent is so important, isn't it? I say that we will confront real issues. That confront does not mean argue or beat up. Again, confront means search for the truth. Honesty means full disclosure to myself and others with good intent. You have to get at ground truth before you can turn anything around. Isn't that the truth too? You have to get to ground truth. You need to know exactly what is the issue. You know, I say in business, it's much easier for me to handle things in business than it is in my personal life. I have a little more control. I don't know why that is. I just feel like I have a little more control. But the thing that I do at work is identify the situation, identify the problem. They seem to glare at me, the problems at work, and they just seem to be easier to solve. But identifying the problem is the beginning of the answer. It's the beginning of fixing the issue and making us better. I always say that a problem is an opportunity. It's opportunity for improvement. And isn't that true even in our personal relationships? Any issue that comes up is an opportunity to get better at what we do. And aren't we as Christians supposed to strive for excellence? I know I am. I know that God wants me to be the best I can be. For me, for those around me, and for Him. So are you striving for excellence? Are you doing everything you possibly can to be the best you can for Christ? If so, then bravo to you. I will always say that I'm not giving enough. I'm not doing enough. It's just my nature. I don't know about you. You know, I will never arrive. I don't have holes in my hands. I'm not perfect, but I strive to be the best I can be. I have employees that come in to me and they're asking me for raises, and I ask them point blank, are you giving me 100%? A lot of the times they'll put their eyes down. They can't look me in the eyes. And when they do that, I'll say, come back when you can look me in the eyes. Come back to me when you can tell me I'm giving you 100%. Because I give 110. I give 110 all the time. And so I need to have people around me that are willing to do that too. So your 110 or your 100% isn't going to be the same as mine. And that's okay too. And my employees, they're not all built the same. And I know that. And our children aren't built the same. And I know that. And you should know that. God created us all different. And there's a reason for that. And I think it's a designed, perfect plan. But with that, we need to understand that not everybody is the same and everybody has different gifts and we need to help people work in their gifts. I know that that's one of my gifts is to help people find theirs. And that's a wonderful thing. It's really fun to help people with that. The people that have a difficult time talking, that have a difficult time identifying their own feelings. For instance, here's one. I was very close for a long period to a man who would be angry. He'd be angry. And what I found out later in life is that anger was really hurt. And is that you? There was a counselor that once said, you know, when someone kicks you, what happens? Well, I get mad. Well, what happens before you get mad? I just get mad. Well, the truth of the matter is this person didn't even realize that from hurt went to anger so quickly that he didn't realize he couldn't even identify that there was hurt because he went straight from hurt to mad. So if that's you, when you get angry, take a minute, breathe, and ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? Okay, I'm mad. Okay, I get that. You're mad. Okay, but why are you mad? What is it that's causing you to be mad right now? And if it's hurt, which 99.9 times it's hurt, it's a protective mechanism that you've allowed to protect yourself. And that's okay. But when you get mad, you're hurting others because there's usually an outburst. So with an outburst, all you're doing is creating more things that we have to take care of later. So instead of doing that, a more positive thing is to realize that in your anger, do not sin. And in your anger, ask yourself, why am I angry? And say, okay, I'm hurt. Okay, what am I hurt about? What is it that hurt me? And then identify that and say, I am hurt because you said, or this is how I feel when you say. And that's a fierce conversation. And those are tough. They're really tough. But I'm encouraging you right now, please, for yourself, for those around you, those that you love so much, and you really don't want to hurt anybody, take the time to have that fierce conversation. And you know, the best thing to do is to have that conversation with yourself first. Have the conversation with yourself. Identify it with yourself. Then have the conversation with God. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm angry right now. I'm hurt right now. And I need you to help me with this because I don't know how to even put this in words. How do I explain this to this loved person that I have that I need to express how this person is doing this to me and it's affecting me this way? How do I have that conversation? And you know what? If you ask the Lord to walk with you, if you ask the Lord to guide your words, He'll do that. He's done that for me so many times, and He'll do it for you too. All you have to do is ask. Isn't it amazing that we can ask? We can just ask. I taught my kids a long time ago. They're old now. In fact, it's my daughter's birthday today, and I'm so happy about that. I just love her so much, and I'm sure she's going to be listening to this show. So happy birthday, sweetie. I taught my kids a long time ago that you don't know if you don't ask. And a little side note to this is that I was shopping with my son one day, and he saw these pair of shorts in the sale. I always taught my kids to go to the sale aisle first. You know, why not? If you can be a good steward with your money and you can get things on sale, why not? It's a fun thing to do. Anyway, he found a pair of swim trunks that he really, really, really liked. He really liked them. But he was going to buy them himself this day, and they were more than he had. And he went and tried them on and noticed that there was a little imperfection. And yes, they were already on sale. We get that. But there was an imperfection. So I said, Tice, I said, why don't you just go up and see if there's anything the manager can do because you found this little imperfection on this, you know, mom, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I said, come on, let's just do it. You don't know if you don't ask. So we went up to the manager, and sure enough, the manager gave him $5 more off. He looks at me with this great smile. I love his smile. And, you know, he got his shorts. He had enough money to pay for them. And we learned a great lesson that day. We learned that you don't know if you don't ask. Little side note, just ask the Lord. The Lord will guide you. He'll guide your every step. You just got to ask Him. And He's always there. He never sleeps. And I like that too. I like that He never sleeps. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. and we're talking about fierce conversations. Achieving Success at Work and in Life, One Conversation at a Time by Susan Scott. And it says, powerful, this book will help you gain the insight and skills to make every conversation count. And that's from Ken Blanchard, which Ken Blanchard is another guy. I really like his books. Return to me when you are empty. We each have our own sense of the reality of any situation, our own truths. These truths can be far removed from reality and often cause our conversation to travel the same ground over and over and over again. Boy, have I been there. You just keep going and going and going, but nothing seems to get resolved. I'm reminded of the story of the man who visits a Zen master. The man asks, what truths can you teach me? The master replies, do you like tea? The man nods his head and the master pours him a cup of tea. The cup fills and the tea spills. Still, the master pours. The man, of course, protests, and the master responds, return to me when you are empty. The lesson here is that we need to empty ourselves of our preconceived beliefs in order to be open to a broader, more complex reality. Official truths in my workplace, then it gives you a worksheet, you know, where it's saying to write down the following. Official truths in my workplace. Ground truths in my workplace. Official truths in my personal relationships. Ground truths in my personal relationships. Truths in my life. Ground truths in my life. Pretty amazing stuff here. The corporate soul reflects shared values. A value is a tightly held belief upon which a person or organization acts by choice. It is an enduring belief that one way of behaving is personally, professionally, spiritually, or socially preferable to an opposing way of behaving. In considering your values and any gaps that might exist between those values and your behavior, there is more at stake in interrogating this particular reality than most of us realize. Psychoneuroimmunology suggests that if you get sick, you're a bad person. No, bad things happen to good people. Maybe you just caught a bug. Maybe you inherited a troublesome gene. However, if you feel a creeping, deadening depression, as if you are merely drifting, bumping into the bank in a rudderless boat, held in the current of the particular river you are in, if you are tired and listless much of the time, if you sense something's off, then do an integrity scan. Ask yourself, what values do I stand for, and are there gaps between these values and how I actually behave? In fact, if you are depressed, it may be because you have repressed some important truths from yourself, truths about yourself. Integrity requires alignment of your values, the core beliefs and behaviors that we have claimed as important to us and our actions. Honesty is important, yet you frequently bend the truth in an attempt to stay out of trouble or get what you want. You are out of integrity. If your behavior contradicts your values, your body knows. Bad things happen to good companies. This is wrong. This is not right for me. In the book, it's suggesting to do a personal integrity scan, clarify and write down your core values, pay attention to each word you consider. Maybe there's only one word or phrase that rings true for you. That's fine. Write it down. Now run an integrity scan. Is my behavior out of alignment with my values in the workplace, in my personal relationship, in my life? Are there integrity outages? If so, what are there? So, with all this being said, you need to take an evaluation of you personally, take an evaluation of your relationships. Are you where you want to be? Is there something that needs to change? If there is, what are you going to do about it? It happens one conversation at a time. People yearn to be connected to something of substance. They are oriented to values. How shall I live my life so that it means something more than a brief flash of biological existence, soon to disappear forever? That's a very good question. Few, if any, forces in human affairs are as powerful as shared vision. So here's the questions. Why are we here? What is our ideal relationship with one another? Wow, isn't that something? And in that it says, how would we describe the best possible relationship we could envision with everyone inside the organization? More compelling than trust and respect are specific actionable values, such as we want consistency between our plans and our actions, to disagree without fear, each person to be connected, I love that word connected, with the final product, freedom to fail, people are shot only for not trying. That's in the relationship, the work relationship, but also at home. You know, these things apply for both workforce and personal life. What is our ideal relationship with our customers? What contribution do we wish to make to the global community? At Ecola, what we're doing is we have changed our thinking now because we wanted to be a successful company. Well, what is success? If you asked yourself for you, what is your belief on success? What makes you a success? I've asked kids this from the age of 5 all the way up to 25, and even people that are working for me that are older than 25. And I say, what is success to you? And do you know what's different for each person? It's not always money, is it? It's your quality of life. For a lot of people, for me now, it's quality of life is success, but also I want to make a difference in this world, and I want the difference to be as big as I can do. You know, I want to do all I can do. I want to be all I can be. I don't know what your definition of success is. Only you know that. If you're not clear on that, that might be a good place to start. Be clear on what success is for you, because that will drive your decisions. You know, I mean, if you've got a decision to make on work, if you're out of work, what is success for you? These are all really good questions on your future. What's success? You know, it's to bring more people to know Christ. That's success. You know, that's what we're called to do. So what is success to you? And you might have more than one success. You know, a lot of people do. You know, you've got your personal successes and your business successes. And, you know, what's important? What's important to God? Why did God create you? What's your purpose for being on this earth? You know, that's a really good question, too. And that kind of parallels with success, doesn't it? Your purpose, why God created you, what gifts do you have? Are you using those gifts? If not, start now. Figure out what they are. What are you good at? That's a good indicator as to what your gifts are. And here's a really good one that I'm learning, and I'm learning this very strong. This lesson's being hit really hard for me is you get what you tolerate. Ooh, ow. Okay, I am a mother. I'm very maternal. And in my business, I'm maternal. I care about my employees so much. And in that maternal, I put up with more. I'm more flexible than maybe I should be. And what I'm getting back is you get what you tolerate. So I'm having the fierce conversations, but sometimes even in the fierce conversations where I think both parties are understanding everything that's going on and we're very clear, okay? Clarity is there, but I'm still the changes that are being made, not on my side, but on the other side. And so then I have to make some really tough business decisions. And personal decisions, you know, these things, these affect everything in our lives. You get what you tolerate. What are you tolerating? If you've made the fierce conversation and you've been clear and you feel that you've done everything possible, then you've got to figure out what's the next step. But first start is to clarify how you're feeling, what you're thinking, where are you, where you want to go. Have those fierce conversations with those people around you. You don't know. You have no guarantee that person's going to be here tomorrow. In the Bible, it talks about if there's anyone that you have any altercation with, if there's anyone that you're not clear or you're not together with, leave the altar. Make your relationships right, then come back. So if there's anybody that you have any issues with, leave the altar, go fix that. Do what you can to fix it. Not always will people forgive you. Not always will people even accept what you have to say. But do your part. Do your part to make it right with everyone that you come in contact with. And once you do that, you're going to feel better about yourself and you're going to be right with God because he told you to do that. So until next week, we are going to revisit Fierce Conversations. We've only done one of the 7 principles, so we'll just move right along. So if you're liking what you're hearing, tune in next week. And if you know somebody else that might, you know, glean any kind of anything, knowledge, wisdom from this, have them tune in too. You know, on the radio, you never know how many people are listening. So please go on to SueFreeze.com and let me know you're listening. I'd really like to hear from you. So God bless you and do this, okay? Don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. There's no time better than today to start a new chapter, a new beginning, a new season. So God bless you, love you, and we'll be talking next week. Bye-bye.
Child, you're forgiven in love. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven in love.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. it's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.